The Peacock series We Are Lady Parts is a bold, bracing, and very funny comedy series about an up-and-coming London punk band called Lady Parts and the young, awkward, and extremely anxious microbiology PhD student who reluctantly becomes their lead guitarist. Well, he was alive and he's under my headstone. The members of Lady Parts and its manager are all young Muslim women from various racial and ethnic backgrounds. Over the course of this six-episode season, each member experiences triumphs and setbacks, none more so than our nervous lead guitarist Amina, who strives to overcome her stage fright and to keep her involvement in the band a secret. I'm Glenn Weldon, and today we're talking about We Are Lady Parts on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc. Teladoc is here for you with 24/7 access to board-certified doctors who can diagnose and treat non-emergency conditions like sinus infections, allergies, rashes, and more. And Teladoc's doctors can, where authorized, call in a prescription to be filled at the pharmacy of your choice. Download the app today or visit teladoc.com/NPR.
Welcome back. Joining us for her Pop Culture Happy Hour debut is pop culture critic Roxana Haddadi. Welcome, Roxana.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this show. In the first episode of We Are Lady Parts, Amina, played by the terrific Anjana Vossen, is a nerdy, awkward PhD student who teaches guitar, but who is too riddled with anxiety to perform in public. She's also on the apps trying to find a husband, with little luck. Meanwhile, the band Lady Parts is in search of a lead guitarist. There's the hard-edge lead singer Syra, played by Sarah Camilla Impey. There's the warm and understanding Bisma the bassist, played by Faith Omole. The disquietingly intense drummer Aisha, played by Juliet Matamed. And the always hustling manager Momtaz, played by Lucy Shorthouse. At first, Amina is determined to keep the world of her friends and family separate from the world of the band for various reasons. The two worlds inevitably collide, and the result is funny, sure, but it's also a lot more nuanced, more moving, and legitimately surprising than the early episode's broad comedic tone might suggest. We Are Lady Parts was created, written, and directed by Nita Manzoor, and it feels very much like a personal project. Roxana, you wrote a great piece about this show for Slate called There's Nothing on TV Doing What Lady Parts is Doing. So I'm going to put you on the spot. What's it doing?
It is giving Muslim women interiority in a way that we are not afforded in other television programs. Mm-hmm. We are either, and I say this as an Iranian-American who was raised Muslim, loved punk music, and felt a lot of myself in this show. Most of the time on TV, we are the terrorist or the terrorist's wife or the oppressed woman, and we don't get a lot of interests or personalities or quirks. And this gave all of the band members all of those things, and it was nuanced and layered in a way that we have not been before on TV.
Right. I mean, I keep coming back to the word nuance. That's something that's fantastic about the show. I love the show so much. I love how it plays with tone. We talk a lot on this show about books, movies, television, where you get this kind of tonal whiplash, but that's the word exactly, nuanced. I love how unapologetically broad it can get with all these fantasy sequences and musical comedy numbers. And I think there's some riffing on Edgar Wright here, because whenever Amina leaves a scene very quickly, we hear that whoosh sound.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this music. Let's talk about this music. Songs like Voldemort Under My Headscarf, which is dark, and Ain't No One Gonna Honor Kill My Sister But Me, which is super dark.
Yes, very dark. And I think what the songs do really well is they capture the fact that these women are very faithful.
Yeah.
What I appreciated is that none of these characters has a wavering of faith that results in them triumphantly taking off their hijab.
Right, right, right.
That is not something this show does, thankfully. But these songs allow these women to sort of work through, okay, I am a Muslim. What does that mean to people who see me? Outsiders, people from outside of my community. And what does that mean to people within my community? What are the expectations from both sides?
Right.
So you have this great Voldemort joke, you know, what am I hiding under there? And then you also have this idea about the honor killing that, like, you don't get to do that. I, as a woman, get to protect and turn on other women in this community if I want to. So it's all very, very tongue-in-cheek, sort of Scott Pilgrim, 30 Rock, but also very honest and very bracing.
Again, I have the note here, bracing, nuanced. It's got a very British bite, but at heart, this is such a remarkably good-natured, good-hearted show, really, about very different Muslim women coming together, supporting each other, finding their voices. But none of it is done with, you know, empty girl power platitudes, because it's really grappling with something. Like you said, they're allowed to be real and raw and horny, but that's the exact thing it's capturing. Irreverent, but still devout. You know, they say we play together, we pray together. And this is what you said in your essay, too. It's something that's needed that just isn't. It's representation, sure, and it's helping to validate, you know, the lived experience of young Muslim women like this. But also in the mix, and this shouldn't be the show's primary purpose, far from it, but it does help to expand and deepen the very narrow, very shallow understanding of non-Muslim audiences. I mean, I think American TV needs an image like we got in the pilot of a Muslim woman like Mamtaz in Niqab vaping and saying, feminism, innit?
Sisters, huh? With mutual love and admiration, we lift each other up, yeah?
Feminism, innit?
Yeah, I love that moment with my whole heart, every part of my body. Yeah, I mean, I think you need sort of that irreverence. And to be fair, there have been opportunities on TV for Muslim men to do this.
Sure.
Because there has been Rami, yep. And I think to less successful effect, United States of Al.
Sure.
So there have been other opportunities to do this, but there is sort of this, as you said, unapologetic, rebellious, self-confident flavor to the show. And yet it also doesn't stay that way, right? Because there is sort of this crisis of confidence midway through the season that forces the women to sort of assess, like, is what we're doing and the self-expression of it, is it hurting other people?
Right.
And I think that is a very thoughtful thing that we also don't get just in a lot of sitcoms, that sort of idea of how do my actions affect other people around me? Mm-hmm. And I loved that the show went with that interiority.
Right. I mean, we do still get a sense of community here. And there's a meta quality to that because the community's reaction to Lady Parts becomes a plot thread, becomes a thing that the show deals with over a course of episodes. And that is something that Manzoor dealt with herself when the pilot of this show premiered in 2018 on Channel 4. Got a lot of praise, but there was also a backlash from some in the Muslim community who felt it was mocking Islam. So that becomes, in a very smart way, that becomes part of the reality of the show. And we keep hitting the word nuance, but like at first, the reaction of the Muslim community seems like this single monolithic reaction, but of course it isn't. It couldn't be. It never would be. It's a lot more complicated. And that's something that we keep coming back to, not just on the women of Amina's generation, but Amina's mom, played by the great Shobu Kapoor. We need more of her. She's so wry and knowing and about herself, about her faith, about her culture. There are millions of Muslim women like her, but we never see them.
Yeah. The fact that the parents here are not the people pushing Amina into the arranged marriage.
Right.
It is Amina who has joined this marriage app. She thinks she's ancient at 26 years old, and she wants to settle down and start her life. And I think that's relatable to probably any woman in that age group, regardless of faith. I certainly had a lot of friends in my 20s who wanted to go a certain trad route and ended up doing that. And so to have her parents be the people who are like, you could actually calm down and wait a little while is very helpful. In the same way that you have Syra is a halal butcher and you have her boss at the butcher shop who is like, cool, go play your punk music, but also please make sure to clean up after yourself at the store. You know, you have all of these people who their faith is very important to them, but it's not their defining characteristic. It is held in conjunction with everything else about them. And you have so many great examples of this. I mean, you have Syra reciting the Pakistani poet Faiz Ahmed Faiz, who was a Marxist and who was sort of a secular Muslim figure.
Speak, for your two lips are free. Speak, for your tongue is still your own. This straight body still is yours. Speak, your life is still your own.
So you do have all these different varying examples of what does it mean to be a person of Islamic faith and how do you interpret that?
Right. I mean, one conversation that Amina has with her mom is the mom says the stuff you'd hear in any American sitcom, you know, do what you want, be who you want to be. And it's not left to stand there as an empty platitude because Amina comes back and says, yeah, mom, it's complicated. But then the mom comes back to Amina's comeback by saying, it's complicated, but it's crucial. That is not empty platitudes. That's really grappling with something. You mentioned that scene in the coffee house. I want to just let folks know here that the jokes land. This is a very funny show. There's a spoken word night they go to at a bar. And jokes about spoken word poets, that's low-hanging fruit. That is fish in a barrel. But man, I'm a barrel fish because it hooked me. There's also some real wisdom here. I mean, when Bisma tells Amina, you've got to own your freakiness before your freakiness owns you. I mean, come on, that should be printed on currency. That should be carved into a record and sent into space to represent humanity. What I love about that is it's not just own your freakiness or it will own you. You've got to own your freakiness before your freakishness owns you, because there's a time bomb there. It's like you've got to work on this. There's an urgency. And the last thing I'll say is this: God bless the British. This is 6 episodes and out, all bangers, no skips. This show really takes you on a journey as these relationships and these characters fundamentally change.
Yeah, I mean, no filler whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Perfect 6 half-hour episodes. I would love if it got a second season, because mm-hmm. I think there is so much else about this world that we could explore in a second season. Every character got a great arc, mm-hmm. but I want to know, you know, what if the band becomes bigger?
Right.
What if they gain more of an internet presence? What if they get invited to play at a festival? I mean, all of these things, sort of all of the questions that something like Bend It Like Beckham explored.
Yeah.
That's what I would love in a second season.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see more of the mom. I just love her perspective. If there's any character who I think got a little, not short shrift, but like a little undercooked maybe, that would be Aisha Hart, who plays Amina's best friend, Noor. Yes, she's going the trad route, as you mentioned, but I just felt like there was more to that character that could have gotten explored. Do you agree?
I think so. I mean, I think that there could have been more that they explored with her. I could almost see a hesitance to do so, because if she is choosing a sort of traditional route, then I think maybe the expectation here is that to compare and contrast her with Amina mm-hmm. and suggest that what she is doing is the wrong choice.
Right.
Which isn't true. It's just not the right choice for Amina. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there is something there in terms of she feels a little bit like perfectly presented, and that maybe she gets a little bit of a short shrift. But I felt like I still knew her mm-hmm. and what she was about. And I liked that they sort of made her the queen bee of this Mean Girls, perfectly coordinated yep. in their outfits, Muslim group, because there is such a corner of Instagram that captured.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, if you were a member of the Muslim community, that group felt very recognizable to you.
Well, we want to know what you think about We Are Lady Parts. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Roxana, for coming on our show.
Thank you so much.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you got a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you all tomorrow, when we will be talking about the world of romance books and a few recommendations for where to start.
I'm Gregory Warner, host of NPR's Rough Translation. The military helped launch Silicon Valley, but now they're kind of on the outs.
You're surprised that you look at me and say, no, that's not possible. Yes, it is.
And so it just dawned, this is just not going anywhere.
Stories of communication and miscommunication, each week on Homefront from Rough Translation.